Hi, I'm Pete Hill, and this is The D Word, the show where we talk dementia. Glad to have you company again for another hour of dementia chat and music here on UK Health Radio. Now, radio is something I've been lucky enough to be involved in since I was a teenager. So when I came across Merseyside Dementia Radio, I had to find out more. And I'm delighted to say that founder Nat Gavin will be joining me after this from Gabe Lee. That's a great album called The Hometown Kid from Gabe Lee. And taken from it is that track, Lucky Stars. From the days of the Crystal set, radio has come a long way. And now with advances in technology, there are thousands of stations out there. Few of them, though, claim to be dementia-friendly. And that's where our guest this week, Nat Gavin, from Merseyside Dementia-Friendly Radio, hopes to make a difference. So, how did Nat first get the idea for dementia-friendly radio?
Well, the inspiration behind it was whilst caring for my gran, who was at the later stages of her dementia. Just looking for something for her to listen to. She was listening to, we'd leave on a lot of commercial radio for her through the night, and even stations that were ostensibly more relaxing music would have ad breaks or complicated like sound design for jingles and idents and things. So I thought it would be nice to find something to just leave on for her, maybe a station that was on DAB, on the telly. And I didn't find anything, so I thought, I started kind of, the idea started to germinate to do something myself. I had a little bit of experience in very small niche internet radio before that. And I've got a history in music production and audio editing. So I decided to use my skills for good rather than just messing about.
Yeah, what I was saying is probably what listeners would want to know is what makes a dementia-friendly radio station?
Yeah, that's usually people's first question. So I suppose the cop-out answer to that is that it's continually evolving what makes it dementia-friendly, because we constantly strive to make it dementia-friendly. So that's the kind of the driving force that makes it dementia-friendly. Feature-wise, to begin with, I was going to have it so that there was no talking on there whatsoever, because purely from, you know, anecdotal, from personal experience, I noticed that when there was voices on the radio, my gran was a little more distressed. She'd think that somebody was in the room. So I thought, to maybe just have music, just have relaxing music 24/7. But then when I kind of started shopping the idea around to the dementia community in Liverpool, it was suggested that we could have voices so long as they're friendly, comforting ones. So for me, what makes it dementia friendly is no adverts for a start, because I think, again, as a personal thing, I think that adverts are meant to manipulate and kind of distort the truth. So doing that, to aiming that at people with dementia, seems quite sinister to me. It was basically more about subtracting things from normal radio. So no sound design. If there are voices, they should be clear and simple. We try not to have multiple people talking over each other. There's a lot of kind of commercial radio that might have three people having a chat, all talking over each other. And obviously, people with dementia can experience perception issues, including auditory hallucinations or just difficulty kind of concentrating or discerning between different sounds. So if there's a lot of people talking at the same time, that can be overwhelming. It can be overwhelming for most, but specifically people with perception issues. Another element that's dementia orientated is that we have self-care reminders, such as to just drink some water or have a cup of tea. We pepper them throughout the day. We'll have reminders to have breakfast, lunch and dinner. we try to make them that they are gentle, friendly reminders rather than somebody patronizingly saying, remember to drink some water. We try to make it a lot more friendly than that. And we try to make the way people experience our radio as dementia-friendly as possible. We're unfortunately stuck with internet radio at the moment. Ideally, we'd like to be on community DAB license. I'd intended for the station to be on a FM community radio license, but they were scrapped, or they were no longer handed out new licenses for community radio about 4 months into me starting this project. So that kind of scuppered that a little bit, but now we're waiting for a community DAB license. Sorry, I went off on a tangent a bit there. So yeah, dementia friendliness is just, I use the rule of thumb when we're talking about producing a new show or a new element of the station. I think of somebody living with dementia on their own, listening to our station. And if the idea of a certain element of the station, if it makes me sad, if the idea of them listening to it, or makes me worried for them, I won't do it. I'll scrap it. It's a bit of a crude rule of thumb, but I think it's been working so far. We do also try and speak to local dementia groups, and memory cafes about ideas that we're having to kind of test the waters and see what people think.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Cowboy Take Me Away from Brittany Spence here on UK Health Radio, where if it's health related, we've got it covered with shows you can listen to live or at your leisure with our listen again and download features on the website www.ukhealthradio.com. And if you fancy a good read, then check out Health Triangle magazine for some great articles on every aspect of health. Back to my guest now, Nat Gavin. Running a dementia-friendly radio station involves ensuring everyone involved has a basic knowledge of the condition.
Yeah, definitely. We've not been able to do as much as I'd have liked because we've only been running during lockdown since April 2020 we started. So I try and give people dementia training as I can kind of give them. I'll send them links to things. We had originally intended for two of our company directors to deliver dementia-friendly or dementia-friend sessions or just small training sessions to volunteers. But it wasn't really possible through lockdown with people's schedules and things. But it's volunteers have been kind of fairly sporadic throughout running the station. I'm the only real kind of consistent member of the band. So if there's somebody that's going to do some design work for us, I'll send them a couple of really nice guides that I've found to designing for people with dementia, doing digital design for people with dementia. If it's somebody doing audio editing for us, all they really need to know is that things need to be as clear and clean and high quality as possible. So we try to do dementia training as much as we can, but not always entirely possible.
Yeah, absolutely. It is, reason why I set up a show really is because it's something people don't want to talk about. So to get people involved in that world is obviously difficult. Talking of the world we live in, obviously everything is ruled in some way by finance. How do you finance everything you're doing?
With great difficulty at the moment. To begin with, I was self-financing the project. We got a couple of very small kind of micro grants from local projects, local initiatives. We did get a a small grant from the National Lottery as well last year for a project we were doing, the playlist project. We have a Patreon so that people can donate a small amount every month. It's not really thriving at the moment, but hopefully it'll grow over time. We've had a couple of just one-off donations through our PayPal as well, but we do everything on a very small budget. I come from a history of the independent music scene where everything's done very cheaply and is in general kind of done for the love of it. But I am aware the station does need a lot of money just to kind of chug along, and I also have ideas of how I'd like to expand it. So I am having to get more of a business brain on me, trying not to go full-blown capitalist, but definitely need to need to get some more money coming in.
Yeah, because I know you're based in Merseyside and you are Merseyside Dementia Friendly Radio, but the technology we've got, I mean, you've got a worldwide audience out there.
Yeah, definitely. It was something. The only reason that it became Merseyside Dementia Friendly Radio rather than doing a more general one was that our feature called The Notice Board, which is a daily what's on guide for the dementia community. And to try and cover everything in the world would be impossible, but even trying to cover everything in the UK would be extremely difficult. So it's not running at the moment. We've had to put it on the back burner for a while, but there's we've just taken on a new volunteer who's taking on the notice board as her project. So we want to have a guide as to if there's a dementia cafe on that day, we can say to people in the morning, there's this happening today, this is where it is. Also just include advice about other like continuing services, charities that can help and things, but it is for the most part Merseycentric. So that's the only part really of the station that wouldn't necessarily be appropriate for other people. So the hope is eventually that we could maybe take the station to other areas of the UK and beyond, and use a lot of the same music programming, but then just interject the different areas kind of what's on guide for that county or region.
Yeah, I think, it is a great idea. There's no doubt. And also there's no doubt about the power of music in dementia, which is, a big subject. Music for Dementia is obviously set up. I've had Grace Meadows, who's the technical director there, on the show. And I have you also. The interesting thing we got talking about was that you don't base music on someone's age, because that's a very dangerous thing to do. And I have a kind of personal example where when I was working with the Alzheimer's Society, I was given what I called the My Old Man Said Follow the Van CD, which basically had songs, First World War and before and whatever.
Yeah.
And they're still appropriate. I'm not saying they're not the appropriate setting. But when I had a 90-year-old pull me to one side and Wynne said to me, "Pete, can you turn that off and please put on some ABBA and Michael Bublé?" it came across to me, you just cannot judge someone's musical taste by their age.
Yeah, definitely. I think it can be a nice starting point. I don't know if you're familiar with Playlist for Life, the music and dementia charity. I worked as a local organizer for them for a year. And a big part of that is talking about the memory bump, which is the time of our lives in which we'll make the strongest connections to pieces of music. And that's generally between the ages of 10 and 30. For me, it's definitely my teenage years, the songs that I'll feel most nostalgic for, which would be 90s heavy metal, if you're asking. But then that's just one part, one area that we can make these connections to music. It is also songs identity tracks that could be things like religion or sports teams or even just like social groups. It could also just be songs from a child's wedding or just any kind of big event that happens later in life. Or maybe for some people, they did kind of, maybe they were late bloomers and went out raving like later in their lives. So have these connections to different music. It is really difficult to tell. Obviously, you can't please everybody. The techniques that Playlist for Life, well, the thing that Playlist for Life promotes is personalized, personally meaningful music for each individual, which is a really important thing to think about and to act upon. I suppose the idea for the station is that we do try and give a kind of, we try to cover as many areas as we can in the hope that people can listen to them more in group settings. Or I know from personal experience, my mum's living with dementia as well, and we have a personal playlist for her. And she loves listening to it over and over again. But for those around her, it might start to grate a little bit if it's the same playlist playing over and over again. So the idea with the station is that we have a little bit more variety to it. We generally cover music from the 30s to the 80s, which is obviously a huge amount of music. I originally went at it with just putting whole albums of music on. And more obscure things, a lot of kind of jazz and things as well, and folk music. But now we try to keep to the hits, so it's there's more of a chance that more people would have heard it in their younger years, because it would have been more present on radio and things.
The brilliant Cactus Blossoms and Traveller's Paradise. If you're a fan of the Everly Brothers, then check out the Cactus Blossoms. If you're working on a new project or got a story to tell, we'd love to hear from you here on The D Word, either on social media at Radio TDW, on Twitter, the Radio TDW Facebook page, or of course by email to tdwradio@gmail.com. My guest this week is Nat Gavin from Merseyside Dementia Friendly Radio, established during lockdown, which made it difficult to get an idea of listener numbers.
Well, when we were first starting out, before we started broadcasting, when I was still kind of forming the ideas, I attended quite a few dementia groups, memory groups and things, and handed out surveys, questionnaires rather, to get an idea of people's ages, what kind of radio they listen to currently, if at all. And then I had quite a long list of genres or eras to get an idea of what might be most popular. It wasn't an exhaustive kind of way of doing it by any means, because obviously we didn't go into a lot of care homes. This was just before lockdown happened, so we went to a few dementia groups. We were hoping to visit care homes to get a more in-depth idea, because obviously people that visit dementia groups are still out and about. It might be people who are kind of earlier on in their dementia journey. So we didn't really get to get out there and get as much information as we'd like. But yeah, we did our best, and we continue to try and kind of change the playlists if we get some feedback. But obviously feedback from people is also a little difficult. It can be, yeah. For a while, the only feedback I was getting about the station was from my mum and dad, and then from a friend called Roy who lives with dementia, and they had polar opposite ideas about the station or preferences about the station. So I was still kind of none the wiser a lot of the time. But yeah, listenership-wise, for a long time, there weren't really any people listening. But it was nice because we launched early to address the issues of isolation, loneliness during lockdown. So we'd already launched. People were listening to it as we were promoting things, but we didn't really have a steady listener base. but it's given us a chance to kind of work on things, the more technical side of things and the more the business side of things. But we more recently started to promote it a bit more old school. Rather than using social media, I got posters and flyers designed by my friend Joe. And I've been going out, sticking them up in shops and doctors' surgeries, and handing them out to dementia groups. And our listener numbers have gone up since then, because obviously the people that we want to reach the most might not be as present on social media. So yeah, listener numbers are going up. Hopefully the show appearance will bring them up again. I'll get that that boost from you.
Well, you know, hopefully so. I mean, You know, part of the reason for my project was also to give a platform for people that are producing such amazing work out there. And it is very difficult to reach that part of the community, because when someone gets diagnosed with dementia, there's, you know, I'm sure you know from your personal experience, you just get bombarded with information. It's very difficult to see through that fog and kind of find things that, you know, that will help and things that you love. Just because you're living with dementia doesn't mean, you know, you can't still have a love of radio, which, you know, I think you and me
definitely,
both
share. Definitely, yeah. I'd also really like to encourage people living with dementia to get involved with the station, to, you know, whether it be presenting, if they have any broadcast experience, you know, in the technical side of things. I'd love for people to get involved in that side of things. Or, yeah, presenting, reading stories. I think everyone would benefit, especially the station would benefit from the import of those living with dementia. It's something that I need to get the word out there a bit more to kind of post-diagnostic groups and things, like to let people know that you don't have to just be passively involved in the dementia community. You can still be active, as my mum was. She was an activist all her life, and when she got dementia, became a dementia activist. So yeah, it's still possible to learn new things and get involved with new things after a diagnosis.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Caelan Rose and our own side are here on The D-Word, where I'm chatting to Nat Gavin from Merseyside Dementia Friendly Radio, which you can hear by going to their website at mdfr.co.uk. It's a great project which could open up the possibility of people living with dementia who have had a radio background still being able to be involved in broadcasting.
Yeah, I'd like to think that I'll be doing something radio-related well into my later years. It's a nice thing to be involved with. I think a lot of people really kind of discredit or discount radio, because there's the attitude of streaming services, Spotify and things, kind of make radio what's the word I'm looking for? Not to avoid, make it unnecessary anyway. Obsolete. They think that it makes radio obsolete, but I think having somebody else choose the music and maybe have a little chat to you really goes a long way. I think the idea that Spotify has taken over from radio is a little bit naive, I think, because there isn't that element of somebody curating something for you. Obviously, there are algorithms that can come up with nice playlists for you and things, but a human kind of choosing music and maybe talking to you about the music can really go a long way for a lot of people, especially if it's people who are on their own a lot of the time.
Yeah, and I think that's I always think of people with dementia radio sometimes becomes carer of radio. Because it's carers that put it on, And it, mm-hmm. again, you know, the step is to realize, as you do, that it's for people living with dementia. And I like to see carers and people living with dementia as a kind of team, approach. So, you know, it's for both of them.
Yeah, this is something that I kind of had to address myself last year. We were having a lot of interviews with people where we were talking about dementia, and I realized after a little while that some of the content wasn't necessarily dementia friendly, or maybe talking about the difficulties around being a carer and things might not be, it's kind of patronizing to say it's not dementia friendly, but again, if I think of somebody living with dementia on their own, listening to someone talking about how hard it is to care for someone with dementia, it makes me a bit sad. So we're now going to start up some podcasts that are specifically, not necessarily specifically for carers, but are dementia related without it necessarily being dementia friendly. Some things that we wouldn't broadcast, but that do need addressing, such as advice for carers, or carers just being able to vent about their situation, or people living with dementia being able to vent about their situation. I mean, there's a lot of emphasis on people talking about living well with dementia, which is really a really important thing to talk about. But I'd also like to give a platform to people living with dementia to just proper have a whinge, or, you know, express their anger about their situations. But yeah, it wouldn't necessarily be appropriate for broadcast. So we're going to do them as standalone podcasts so people can choose to listen to them as and when.
Yeah, and I think that's important to separate those things, because it can be a very dark world. We don't shy away from that on the show, and we haven't, you know, throughout all our episodes. But the emphasis still is, it can be a very dark world. Also, there's a lot of people shining a lot of light out there as well.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, there is a lot of people kind of. For instance, I went to an event a couple of weeks ago in Liverpool, hosted at the Open Eye Gallery. There's a photographer called Tig Devlin. He did some work with my mum years ago, and he does these photographic. This current project is videographic, I suppose you'd call it. He's done a video installation about living with dementia, and there was a Q&A with three chaps living with dementia, Stan, Roy and Alan, all of whom I'm familiar with from the local dementia community. And the way they spoke about living with dementia was really heartening, really quite beautiful. Like, Stan and Roy in particular have developed a really close friendship and really take care of each other. And hearing them talking about taking every day as it comes and just kind of adapting to it. Roy has a, as he puts it, a vendetta against dementia. So is kind of daily challenging it and himself, to live independently and to still have a really good time and be involved with all these cool kind of creative projects.
Yeah, I think it's great, you know, that people can get into that mindset. You know, I'm no scientist, so, you know, I don't do research, but it's just got to do good, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think keeping active, keeping the brain engaged and the body as well, you know, keeping blood flow, has got to be good. Although, like you say, like myself, I'm no scientist. I think that's why I'm making assumptions here, but it's kind of why we do what we do, because for myself, I'm not very academically accomplished, so I'm not really able to contribute something to the research or care kind of world of dementia. But it's just nice to be able to give something back or to try and help. As I say, kind of using your power for good. It makes you feel a little bit less kind of powerless with dementia to be able to help in some way.
Yeah, it's not all about people in white coats. But our whole social side is a massive thing, and it's something anyone can get involved in.
Yeah, yeah, it truly is a vital kind of experience for people to still socialize, meet new people. Yeah, and like you say, anyone can get involved with it, even if it's just kind of having a conversation with people, being friendly. It's easy enough to do for most of us.
Absolutely. Well, time's drawing us to a bit of a close now, unfortunately. It's been a real pleasure talking to you. And I wish you every success with, I'm a radio man through and through, so... it's a project that really appeals to me, and I wish you and your team there every success.
Oh, thanks very much, Pete. It's lovely chatting to you.
Only one way we could end, really, isn't there? Don Williams and Listen to the Radio. My thanks to Nad for telling us all about a great project. So do go and give Merseyside Dementia Friendly Radio a listen at mdfr.co.uk. That's all we have time for this week. Thanks as always to our production assistant, Angela. Next week, we're going stateside, as my guest will be American dementia coach Ethel Lord. So until then, thanks for listening and take care now.